about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
This is Whisker Wars. The American bearding season has begun.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I'm aware that hotels exist. I can't afford them.
Fine, go to the YMCA.
It's getting worse now.
What are you talking about worse? That's a cool place.
It's cool?
Young man, there's a place you can go.
It's too early for this.
I said young man. When you're short on your
job. No, I'm gonna go back to sleep.
You can stay there.
It's 5 a.m.
I'm sure you will find...
No, don't do it.
...many ways to have a good time. Bum, 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 bum. It's fun to stay at the YMCA.
And now...
Once again, I apologize that our regular warm-up comic OD'd at a gay man's apartment this morning.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 27th of Rocktober.
No. 26th.
It's Monday, the 26th of Rocktober.
Kevin, God damn it.
He's looking through
at my paperwork. I'm seeing how many.
Like it'll change.
I'm seeing how many places I wrote 27th because all.
Why is this part of the show so difficult?
Why don't you just worry about your part? Do you think?
I just feel
like I'm doing a good job.
I just feel like the date is not hard. It's available in lots of places. It's easy to double check. Why is it so often wrong?
26 or 27?
Today's the 26th.
26th, okay.
That's all right, here's my theory. Allie, you tell me if this holds water with you. Is that when Kevin was filling out this paperwork on Friday, he had to do math.
Oh.
And he added wrong over the weekend when he counted up Saturday and Sunday. For some reason, he counted 3 days.
Yeah. Instead of just looking today and saying, all right, this is the date today. Let me write it real quick.
Right.
Maybe don't do math.
Is that, I mean, it's just the bare minimum of math.
Yeah.
It is. The 20th, which was Friday, and then adding like 2 days, 21st and 22nd.
Okay.
It's not that hard.
That's not.
You come up with
Kevin,
the 14th.
God damn it.
Hey, speaking of Kevin, I've got a soccer story to get us going here this morning.
Oh. All right.
You're probably not familiar with Barnsley, FC Barnsley. They're a second-tier team in Britain. They've been in South Yorkshire since 1887. Been around a long time, this club. And they were in the news this week because firefighters had to rescue a trapped fan who fell asleep in the toilet at halftime and woke up 7 hours after the match had ended.
What? Mm. Is that a sleep or a coma?
Yeah.
A crew from Barnsley got the call around 11 p.m. on Saturday night. They witnessed a man in his early 20s standing on top of what we would call the porta potty, is one name for it. They call it a porta cabin in Britain. He was standing on top of the porta potty inside the Oakwell Stadium calling for help. He had attended the Reds' 1-0 defeat to Fleetwood Town and is said to have woken up around 10:30 p.m. He left the toilet, walked into the dark concourse, and that's when the alarms went off that alerted the emergency services. So when he was in the porta potty, he was fine, but then when he got out, he walked around the stadium and set off an alarm. Now, does that mean that, I mean, so he wasn't trapped in there, it doesn't sound like. He was just asleep. So aren't you surprised that in the course of the second half of the game, there weren't people lined up to use that facility, banging on the door, going, hey, what up?
There might have been, but it sounds like he was just passed out.
Falls asleep, quote unquote.
He was blackout drunk. He was watching soccer, Kevin.
Yeah, he probably was blackout drunk. Yeah.
He was taking drugs to deal with the bad soccer.
That is what I'm saying.
A Barnsley Fire Station spokesperson said, we got the call through to attend Oakwell. Usually it's just a false alarm, but we turned up and saw this young lad on top of the porta cabin trying to get our attention. We had to get the ladder to get him down. He had climbed up there. He had no shoes on, and he had lost his mobile phone and hat.
What?
Yeah, he wasn't sober.
Wow.
At all.
Do you think those somehow, in the course of him falling asleep, fell down into the thing?
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was very bothered about his hat, although he seemed like a smartly dressed lad. The man apparently told emergency services that he had had a, quote, few beers, and then went to the toilet. The next thing he could remember was waking up nearly 7 hours later. The spokesperson added, I know that Barnsley lost again, but it can't be that bad.
That's crazy.
It's slightly embarrassing for the lad, but it's a lesson for him, I'm sure. He'll not be quick to forget. So 7 hours asleep in a porta potty is how he spent his Saturday.
Have you guys ever been anywhere close to falling asleep in a porta potty? Don't you, the second you walk in, just go, I'm counting the seconds until I get right back out of here.
Of course. Yes.
Wow.
With the exception of our friend Mike Catherwood, who, if you'll recall, took a lady in a porta potty one time.
Sure.
Oh.
Remember? Yeah. Yeah. It's romantic. He's very romantic, though.
Very romantic.
That's a word.
Mm-hmm. It is a word. It doesn't apply to that story.
No.
But it's a word.
Or am I remembering that incorrectly? Did he not take a lady? Did he just have himself in the porta potty? Do you remember which one it was?
Either way,
that's
good Lord.
Good question, because I think it was himself.
With Mike, you got to always ask whether someone else is involved
or not.
Because he is a habitual masturbator. I think it might have. I think he was just. He was at a concert or something, and there was some hot member of a band that got his attention, and he just had to take care of business, I think. So think about that the next time you go into a porta potty that Mike could have been in right before you, too.
I will not.
Wow. That's not good.
Mm-mm. Nope.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Let's listen now to a typical program.
Andrew Siciliano will be here from the NFL Network. Mm-hmm. Very excited about that. Taking a look at the weekend of games.
If you could see Chip's smug face right now.
Look, she got two wins. She's so happy.
Perfect.
Let's let her have it.
Good point.
Nobody tell her what's going to, you know, happen the rest of the season. Let's just let her think that it's all good.
Hi, Chip.
You having a good day? Her team won 2 times in a row, Bean.
Yeah, she's on fire.
Also on the program today, we're going to start playing Halloween songs.
Sure we are.
They said.
Mm-hmm.
We have tickets for the Clippers home opener.
Yay.
Good to have basketball back. We're going to talk about Jaden Smith, who says he is a scientist.
All right.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the program today. And would you like to take that back? Coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 552.
We will ask the question, would you like to take that back just after 6? Coming up in just a few minutes on The Kevin and Bean Show. Wrap us here now. Time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat for a Monday.
It is a Monday. What I'd like to do right now is give you a little something-something, help you through your Mondays. Mondays blow, let's face it. But maybe this will take the sting out a little bit. Of course, next weekend, this coming weekend actually, is not just Halloween. It's also Stan Lee's Kamikaze.
Yay!
Kamikaze Comic-Con and Pop Culture Expo is happening this very weekend. It's going to be a blast. L.A. Convention Center, a 3-day festival of all things geek. This is a great con. One of my favorites. And a great lineup of stars this year. Carrie Fisher's going to be there.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Yep. What's she got going on? She in anything this year?
She's got a little independent film coming out around Christmas time.
All right.
Grant Morrison, Stan Lee, Nichelle Nichols from Star Trek fame, Lieutenant Uhura herself, Dita Von Teese, great cast of guests stopping by Kamikaze Expo this weekend. You can go to Kamikaze, that's Comikaze-Expo, KamikazeExpo.com for more details. But I also want to give away some tickets right now, a 3-day pass, a pair of them, to Stanley's Kamikaze for this weekend at the LA Convention Center. Why don't you give me a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Boom, you're there, Kamikaze. Awesome.
Boom.
Good times. Nice man. All right, it's Monday. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Martian continues to be a wildly popular feature film. $15.9 million made it number one. Then Goosebumps, Bridge of Spies, Last Witch Hunter, first new movie in the top 10 at number four with $10.8 million. Then Hotel Transylvania 2 at number five. Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension, debuted to $8.2 million. Making that the lowest performer in the franchise to date. Steve Jobs was seventh, Crimson Peak, The Intern, and Sicario. Hey, Sicario, how come you're number 10? Why ain't you better for me and your mommy? We raised you so good, Sicario. And now you know better than the number 10. You bring shame on this house. said the parents of Sicario.
Ralph, why aren't people going to see the Steve Jobs movie with that cast and that pedigree and that story?
Well, it's not in a lot of theaters. It's not.
It's not okay. All
right. It says opened wider, but it's not everywhere. And some are saying it is not attracting the geeks are rejecting it as largely fiction.
Okay,
they're not happy the way their god is being treated,
mm-hmm.
and so they're boycotting or staying away.
Okay,
and others think he's sort of unlikable.
Yeah, you don't want to spend 2 hours with a dick.
That's what some people are saying.
Well,
however, another Aaron Sorkin penned movie, The Social Network, about Facebook, uh-huh. was also about a dick.
Yeah.
Who was successful in sort of the same genre. That was very popular. So for some reason, I don't know why people are staying away, because it's a great film. Performances are excellent. The script is outstanding. The direction, I mean, top to bottom, it's just a really high-quality film. So if you're not going, go.
All right.
Right? Did you hear about those people that were killed in that whale-watching ship in Canada?
No.
Yes. Whale-watching vessel carrying 27 people capsized off the west coast of Canada on Sunday. 5 people were killed. Another person still missing. So, I mean, I'm guessing we got to kill all the whales, right? I mean, that's what we take away from all this?
I don't think that's it at all.
Yeah, I think it's the whales. Let's get rid of all the whales.
I don't think a whale had anything to do with this.
It's a whale-watching vessel, Bean. It says right in the name of the vessel.
No indication there was even a whale around when the boat capsized.
That's what they want you to believe, man.
Oh, the whale set this up.
Jeez.
I gotcha.
Why don't you open your eyes?
So naive.
Living in your fantasy world.
You know, next time Dave comes up to Seattle, that's on our list of things to do is take one of those whale watching boats right in those waters where this accident happened.
Excellent. I hope
they're consistent.
Similar outcome.
I don't know what this is, but Jay says it's a big sea turtle.
Right? Not get out.
Yep. It's a baby. Whale, man!
Oh, there he is. Get out!
We're witnessing a baby whale right here, dude.
Get out.
Holy
Nope.
That thing looks hurt, Jay.
You're gonna die.
Jay, that thing is hurt, bro.
Yeah.
Holy look at this thing.
Baby whale's hurt, bro. You know who else is hurt? Jimmy Fallon.
Oh.
Jimmy Fallon hurt his hand again. Remember first he said I caught my wedding ring on a table.
Yeah, now, that was
remember that he had surgery on his hand,
right?
Now apparently he was at the Harvard Lampoon. He was being honored by that organization, and he tripped with a bottle of Jägermeister in his hand.
Ooh, who hasn't?
And that bottle shattered, and the broken glass cut his hand up pretty good. So he had to head over to Massachusetts General Hospital and get patched up.
Finally, a good story though with one of his injuries.
How typical for Jimmy Fallon to get injured in only a way a frat boy usually is. I wonder if he sang about it then and asked everyone to look at him and then did the ew girl. I bet it was just all that on one location at the same time. Yuck. Nick Lachey, he's getting political.
Great.
You heard me. Nick Lachey.
Is he running for office?
He's not.
Huh?
But he is appearing in a commercial in the state of Ohio, his home state, begging voters to approve a November 3rd ballot issue that would legalize marijuana in the Buckeye State.
You go, Nick.
Go, Nick. Good for you. Use your powers for good. A new poll suggests that the outcome of that issue in that state is too close to call. I still can't understand anybody who wouldn't vote yes on something like that.
Doesn't make any sense.
I think Nick decided he really started to find the useful properties of marijuana when he was married to Jessica Simpson. That's when it really helped him get through his marriage. That's when he fell in love.
It is believed, Ralph, that the reason that Prime Minister was just ousted in Canada was in part because of his him being against legalization of marijuana throughout that country. Well, and he's just so on the wrong side of where his constituents are at this point.
Right.
That people are like, no.
Right.
So people were like, what?
They're like, no.
So what were they saying? Were they for it, against it?
So they voted in a guy who's all pot all the time.
All right.
And hot.
There's your Canada political update.
Well, I'm just saying it's similar to what you're talking about here. That's the way the country's going. More and more
Canada
states
Monday.
Every election are going to be legalizing pot.
More on Canada when we get back. More Canadian news.
Hopefully not.
No.
Hopefully not.
We're going to look in depth into the Canadian political system, see what's going on there to our neighbors to the north.
He is Canada.
Well, that's
feelings.
All well and good, but what does Diplo think?
Right.
Oh.
And tonight is the hotly anticipated Supergirl premiere on CBS.
Yeah.
A little programming note. I had a chance to check out the pilot to Supergirl over the weekend.
Oh, great.
And I think some people will be happy with it.
Some people.
It's a great show for young women, girls in particularly. I think they will really enjoy it.
Okay.
I enjoy it enormously. I think it's fun, and it's well told, and it looks great. My only concern is it's brought to you by the people who brought you Arrow and Flash.
Right.
And the formula that they seem to have perfected with those shows is here in full force in this, and it's starting to feel a little too familiar, I think. She's there, and she's got her team of friends who help her fight crime, and she's working with an organization, and just it feels like sort of a retread now at this point with those shows being so popular on the CW. So.
She looked pretty hot.
I thought this could have been a chance to go a different direction, and I think maybe it didn't work out that way. But we'll wait and see.
How is she in the lead role?
Terrific. Melissa Benoist is amazing as Supergirl. She's charming and adorable and funny, and you love her.
She's terrific.
She's terrific. And the whole cast is good. It's a well-done show. My fear is, though, we're starting to reach a saturation point with this format of these kinds of superhero shows over and over again. Maybe I'll be wrong. I don't know what that guy was doing. Not happy. Today's celebrity birthdays. Pat Sajak, 69 years old today. Wheel of Fortune. We need the theme for that. We need that theme.
Do we?
Yeah. Da, 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 da. Hillary Clinton is 68 years old today. She's going to be on somebody's show. Jimmy Kimmel Live. Thursday. She's going to be showing up. Rita Wilson's 59. Dylan McDermott is 54. Actor Cary Elwes. You know him from the Saw movies and, of course, Princess Bride. He's 53. Tom Cavanaugh. Love him. Reverse Flash, 52 years old. Keith Urban is 48. My buddy Seth MacFarlane, 42 years old today. John Heder, Napoleon Dynamite himself, is 38. And Emilia Clarke, Game of Thrones, tapped on by Esquire magazine as the sexiest woman in the world this month.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So
that's a choice.
They got that going for them. She's 29 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Later this hour, by the way, we'll give you tickets for the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball, which is this Friday night. Got some great live music from the band Cage the Elephant, also Peking Duck and DJ Jeremiah Red. It's going to be this Friday at the El Rey. The K-Rock DJs are going to be there. Costume contest worth $5,000. An awesome ticket for a great party this Friday night. Your chance to win coming up in about 10 minutes or so. But first, hit it, Steve.
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you take that back?
How's the batch this time around, Kevin?
It's a pretty good batch. Pretty Ralph heavy.
Nice.
Pretty Ralph heavy.
Pretty well, you know, the guys who hit the home runs are also the guys who strike out a lot, man. That's just how it works.
All right, so we're going to play some highlights of the some would call them highlights of the show, and then we're going to give people a chance to take it back. Maybe it wasn't quite as funny as they thought. The first one is Ralph Garman. He's talking about birthdays. He's talking about Steve Miller, and I believe the beat is trying to talk me into liking Steve Miller for some reason.
You know, he's an artist with a great catalog for decades.
And beyond that, he's a joker, he's a smoker, and let's not forget, he's a midnight toker.
Yeah.
He's all of those things. That's true.
Would you like to take that back?
Nah, it seems appropriate.
Okay.
Up next is Ralph Garman.
Is that dissatisfied in that response, Kevin?
Up next is Ralph Garman. He's doing the showbiz beat. He's talking about Lady Gaga. She got up on a bar and danced. And what happened after that?
So even Gaga can't get away with some stuff, man. Get down from there, Lady Gaga. Don't you give me that poker face. You get down off that bar right now.
You go right to hell.
And you sit in a chair like everyone else.
Would you like to take that back?
Yeah, I'll take that one back.
Yes.
That was a square peg in a round hole right there. That was forced.
That's what I was thinking, Beto. I was like, do I fight him on the first one? No, because the second one, he really needs to take the second one.
Okay, all right.
Bean
is the third one. This is Ralph talking about movies for the weekend and talking specifically about Black Mass.
Scorch Trials came in at number one, $30.3 million, then Black Mass.
That used to be called Kwanzaa, right?
Oh, my God.
And so this is how it ends. And we all say goodbye.
Black Mass. Black Mass.
Would you like to take
that back? I thought that was very funny at the time.
Would you like to take that back?
I am mildly horrified today, though. So, yes, I actually believe I will, wow, in fact, throw that one back in the pond.
Wow.
All right. Huh. Next up is Allie.
Oh.
Ralph's doing the showbiz. He's talking about Grease Live and how he's ready to go in if needed and mm-hmm. be a part of the show.
I am still warming up in the wings just in case they need me to step in and take over the role of Danny Zuko, which
why?
I famously played, of course, in college. We go together like Rama Lama Lama, a dinky da dinky dong, together forever.
Yeah.
Like shoo-bop, shoo-wada wada, yippity boop da boom, chang chang, changity okay, chang.
Right. You're not the one that they want.
Aww. Would you like to take that back?
So, Allie.
Listen, if you know Grease, that was funny because.
Yeah, I know Grease.
You're the one that I want.
All right, you know Grease.
I know Grease very well.
Okay.
Not funny?
Didn't strike me that way.
You know Grease
pretty well. Not the way I received it.
Look, it's up to you, Allie. You don't have to take it back if you don't want to.
I'll take it back.
I'll take it back.
Would you like to take that back?
Yeah, you said yes? I'll take it back.
Okay. Wow, all right. So, the story continues, and Bean returns to the scene of the crime of an earlier Would You Like to Take That Back by talking about a different musical that's on TV.
Where's The Wiz?
At least Rodney Dings. The Wiz will be NBC. NBC will be doing The Wiz. Yes.
Well, that'll be the highest rated show of the night. You know why?
Nope.
Why?
No, Rodney.
Because nobody needs The Wiz.
You can't set yourself up like that. Listen to him laugh.
This is the worst thing ever.
Would you like to take that back?
I never tire of Nobody Beats the Wiz.
Yeah, we're painfully aware of that.
This is like the third Would You Like to Take That Back in a row yes. with a Wiz joke.
Every opportunity I have to say Nobody Beats the Wiz, I'm going to say it, and I'm not going to take it back, and you're just going to have to deal with
you're
it.
You're a terrible
that's
human
not,
being.
That's not the last we've heard of it either, I'm guessing.
Up next is Ralph.
Oh.
Oddly enough, Ralph is talking about getting spousal support from John Frusciante. Actually, Ralph isn't getting the spousal support.
I didn't even know they broke up.
I don't thought we had a prenup.
His ex-wife was talking about it.
Ralph's
she
ex-wife? Was
getting $20,000 a month. That was the original agreement.
Who can
she
live on $20,000
right?
a month?
She went back to court asking for $75,000, and the judge finally came in with a settlement yesterday, $53,000 a month.
Oh, my God.
The judge did say the agreement was that would be the permanent agreement moving forward. And regarding his money, he's got to give it away, give it away, give it away now.
Oh, man.
Would you like to take that back?
Hell no. I had people, and when Kevin announced they were doing this segment, tweeting and emailing me demanding, don't you take that back. Don't you take that Red Hot Chili Peppers one back. So for them and myself, I respectfully declined to
all
take
right.
that back.
Next up is Ralph. Talking about the Cubs winning the World Series, Bean was very, very excited that this was predicted in Back to the Future 2.
It's amazing and cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Come back, win this series against the Mets, and then go on and beat probably the Royals in the World Series. Would that then be an amazing prediction from Back to the Future 2?
It would be pretty interesting.
The fact that they
once,
haven't won a World Series in 100 yeah. years, and then they win this year, the same year that the movie predicted they would. I would be allowed to be excited about that, right?
But the Cubs, to get to the World Series and to conquer the Royals and then to move on, they will never beat Royals.
Oh, wow.
Royals.
Wow.
They will never beat Royals.
Would you like to take that back?
They will never beat Royals.
Right, we got it.
I don't think you got it.
We got that.
Because you should be laughing right now.
Right, but
if you got it, you'd be going, they could never beat Royals.
Right, but the fact that we aren't, does that...
That's on
can
you.
You pause.
That's
right.
on you.
So you're not taking that back?
Hell
in?
No.
All right. And finally, Bean is here. We were talking to, when we came in on Monday about the Patriots and Tom Brady, and Allie was talking about the team, and then Bean brings the comedy.
And Allie, your stupid team won again and won big, right?
They did. Hardy knocked down
the beautiful, lovely, and talented Tom Brady quite a few times, but every time he did, it's like he regained even more superpowers. So suck it, hard.
So you're saying he gets knocked down, but then he gets
back up again.
Yep, sure
does.
Is
that what you're saying?
Sure does. Would you like to take that
back? Look, I see what I was.
We all see what you were going for.
I feel like that was low hanging fruit in retrospect. I feel like every listener had the radio on was thinking the same thing, so it's kind of pointless for me to say it. So yes, I'll also take
He's
that one
gonna
back.
Take it back.
Wow.
How about that?
Well, nobody beats the Wiz.
Two things we look forward to every Monday morning here on K-Rock. Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network. He'll join us in the 8 o'clock hour to recap week 7, preview tonight's Monday night game, and our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. He is in the newsroom right now. Hey, Harvey.
Good morning, guys.
Thanks so much for coming on. It's Lamar Odom all the time right now. You guys are doing a great job of covering all the various facets of this story. What do you know about how he is doing on his long road to recovery?
Well, look, I mean, he's doing better in the sense that he's not dying, which is what they were worried about. But he's got a long road ahead of him. I mean, he is on dialysis. He may need a kidney transplant. He's had a dozen strokes. They're not sure what's going to happen ultimately, but he's had physical impairments as a result of it. So he's in a lot of trouble. And the question is, how far out of this hole can he get?
Are you, forgive me if you've done this already on the TV show, but you should try to talk to some of these fans who are volunteering to give him their kidney online. Have you seen these guys?
Oh, yeah, we put it up on the site. I mean, they are sending their blood. They're sending their blood types. And a lot of them are just saying we'd love to do it. Some of them won $100,000.
Ah,
really?
Where is he recovering?
Well, he's at Cedars right now, and, you know, he's getting care. But, he's in trouble. I mean, he is, you know, this kidney problem is a big, big problem. He's on dialysis for up to 6 hours a day, and that can't go on indefinitely. So that's why they're thinking of a transplant.
Were you surprised to see Chloe rush to his side and stay there and even break up with James Harden, it sounds like, to be with Lamar?
I'll tell you, here's what I'm told. I'm told that this thing with James Harden had kind of run its course even before this happened. And so it's not so much that she chose Lamar over James Harden, but I was a little surprised, not so much that she ran there, but that she stayed there. I mean, she was sleeping on a chair in Las Vegas for like 4 days. And she did not leave his bedside. They dropped the divorce. Now, she, I'm told, is kind of upset that people on social media are calling her a chump for going back and believing that he's going to stay off drugs. Now, what we're told is, you know, it's her feeling that, you know, she's going to give this a chance to see what happens, but if he goes back on drugs, she's gone. Now, that said, she said that before.
I read that on your site. She didn't tell him that, though, right?
I don't know what she told him. Okay. I mean, I don't know. That's kind of. I don't know what she told him. I mean, she could have told him that. He's in pretty fragile state. But if she didn't, that actually might be a problem. I mean, you don't want somebody to think, oh, everything's forgiven.
You know what's really curious about this, too, and I know it's a very complicated issue, as many relationships are, particularly when you're dealing with an addict, is who would have ever thought that going to a brothel for a 3-day bender with hookers is the path to take to get your wife back? That usually doesn't work out that way.
You forgot the cocaine part.
Oh, right. Yeah. Exactly. What is the history of Lamar Odom and drugs, Harvey? When did he get into this? He was clean for most of the time he was playing professional basketball,
well,
right?
When he was with the Mavericks, there was a big problem. And he ultimately got fired in no small part because of it. I don't know if I'm doing this from memory, but my recollection is that there were all sorts of issues in a hotel room that Lamar had, and Cuban fired him right after he found out about the damage in the room and the burns in the carpet and whatnot. Okay. But there have been problems there. He struggled with it. I mean, look, he's a good guy, and he had a really rough childhood, and he fell into drugs and got out and went back in and got out, and Chloe tried to save him, and he got out and he got back in. So it has just been going in and out for a long time.
I don't know. Are you watching the Knick this season yet, Harvey?
I am, you know what? I'm not. Is it good?
Oh, it's fantastic. But it's, you know, it's set in around 1902, and it's just when the concept of is addiction a disease or is it just a weak moral character starts to be talked about, when they start to first look into, hey, maybe this is a disease and maybe there's a way to treat it. So over 100 years, people have been, you know,
and they're still doing the same thing.
Still having the exact same conversations. All right,
You know what? You know what I want to talk about?
Yeah.
I know we were going to talk about Jimmy Fallon, and that's interesting. But did you guys see the story we put up about Demi Lovato and Nick Jonas and Adam Lambert?
No, I don't know this one.
This is such a good story. It's such a story about Hollywood. So Demi Lovato and Nick Jonas just announced like a few hours ago, they're going on a world tour, which is cool, right?
Right.
Here's what you don't necessarily know. We put this up on the site a couple of days ago, that tour was supposed to be Demi Lovato and Adam Lambert. And Adam Lambert and Demi, who were good friends, made the deal. I mean, it was done. They agreed on price. There were some things that they still needed to work out, which is like billing and lighting and stuff like that. But that's all the minor stuff that always happens. But the deal was made. At the very last minute, I'm talking late last week, Nick Jonas suddenly aces Adam Lambert out of the position that he had already accepted. And now you start looking at it a little further, and you find out that Demi Lovato and Nick Jonas have the same manager. We are told that the manager said, wait a minute, Nick Jonas is really hot right now, and Nick Jonas doesn't have a tour. And Adam Lambert's on tour with her, but Nick Jonas is, we think, I can get him in there, and it's, you know, it's his client on both ends. So Demi agrees. And they basically push Adam Lambert out. And I'm told Adam Lambert tweeted yesterday that he's not at all upset. There's no beef. I can tell you that he was upset, and his people are pissed, and they think it was unethical. They are pissed.
Is it unethical, or, I mean, is it legal? Can they do that?
It's legal. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just an interesting side of show business that people don't know. I mean, it's just, you know, everything kind of looks shiny and bright and everything else, but it's cutthroat.
Yeah, it is. But the truth is, I'm sure this is just a business decision. I'll tell you, I think Nick Jonas is going to sell more tickets than Adam Lambert is. They're both very, very talented guys, but Nick Jonas is hotter right now. I mean, that makes sense. If I'm Demi Lovato, I want the support act that's going to help me sell the most tickets if I'm on the road.
I totally agree. And then the issue is, but what happens if you made a deal?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that is rough, dude. All right, TMZ.com is where you can find the details on all of these stories and so much more. Look for TMZ throughout the day on Channel 11, TMZ Live airing at 4, also on Fox 11, and TMZ Hollywood Sports Monday through Friday at 3 on The Reels Channel. Harvey, have a great meeting. Have a great week. We'll do it again next Monday.
Okay, guys.
Big 7 o'clock hour coming up this morning here on K-Rock. Not only are we going to give you tickets for the Clippers home opener this Thursday night against the Mavericks at Staples Center, but we're going to play the new Weezer song. Have you heard this yet, Kevin?
I have not, no.
It is wild.
Is that good? Wild?
It is wacky.
Right? Huh.
It is some wacky Weezer. So we'll play that for you coming up. First, though, Jaden Smith, back in the news. He's Will Smith's son, Willow's brother. Jada's son. It was very dark days for you when Jaden was off Twitter for a few months. Remember, Kevin?
He's so entertaining. He's the best.
Because he's the guy that you go to learn how to live your life. Because Jaden knows all the answers. He's only, what, 13 years old or something? 15? What, how old is he?
I think he's 17 now.
Is he 17 already?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
He says things, for instance, like in the GQ article, he was asked to predict where he will be in 10 years. That's not an uncommon question that you would ask a teenager. He says, gone. No one will know where I am in 10 years.
I hope that's true.
They'll see me pop up, but they'll be like, where'd you come from? No one will know. No one will know where I'm at. No one will know who I'm with. No one will know what I'm doing. I've been planning that since I was like 13, is what Jaden says.
Wow.
So he's planning to disappear, man.
He's deep.
He is deep. Let's get Jaden Smith on the phone, shall we?
Jaden, good morning.
Good morning with the Kevin and the Bean and the Kevin and the Steen, and they're on the scene and they can't be misunderstood.
So you're still doing what you call rapping, huh, Jaden?
Yeah, well, I'm a misfit, you know. So my raps are out there, man. I don't expect people to understand them because they're just far beyond anything anyone's ever heard before. Right.
So it's not that they suck. It's just that we don't get it.
That's right, because, you know, I'm working on a different plane, you know, because I go to a mystery school, and then we are, like, performing experiments on humanity.
You talk about experiments, that things that you actually say, you're just putting it out there so that you can determine how people react.
We're able to move a large portion of the population, my sister Willow and I, by putting our experiments out into the world and to build pyramids. I'm building pyramids. They don't slid because they're stuck. You're right there in the muck.
Not good.
You are not a good off-the-top-of-your-head rapper, Jaden.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Okay. All right, let me see. People call you crazy. You're fine with that?
It's an honor to be called crazy because they said about Galileo, too, that he was crazy. You know, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm Galileo, but I'm not saying I'm not Galileo.
Well, right. you're not Galileo, though.
I'm not saying I'm not Galileo.
Right, but we're saying that.
But I'm saying that you're saying I'm not Galileo. I'm saying that I'm not saying I'm not Galileo.
Wait, is he Galileo?
Right? That's the question. Because I'll disappear and then I'll show up and be like, who is that, Galileo? I don't know.
But, Jay, just because they called Galileo crazy and he wasn't, doesn't mean when they call you crazy that you aren't crazy.
Right?
Right. No. That's what I'm saying to you, though.
No, but I'm not saying that I'm not that.
All right.
I go to a mystery school. I'm like a lot of famous, like Galileo went to a mystery school, and Copernicus went to there, and Sausalito, and...
I think that's
Sausalito.
That's a city in the Bay Area.
And Gazpacho, and all
that's
the great... All that's the great,
soup, I think, yeah. is what
all
that
the
is.
Great philosophers went to the mystery school, and then we learn things that regular people don't know. That's why I'm always learning, and I'm always experimenting, and I sit in all different kinds of schools. I've gotten to go to UCLA, UCLA, MIT, PDQ, MI6. FBI.
Well, this mystery school, though, aren't you just, you're homeschooled, right?
It's a mystery. I can't tell you.
Can you tell us what you've learned?
It's a mystery and you don't know whether I'm going to the school. It's a mystery and you don't know what I'm saying because I'm cool. It's a mystery because it's a mystery. And I am a guy who says mystery a lot.
Well, that's true. That's actually true. You also were talking to Jaden Smith about his GQ interview. You also say that your plan is to open schools all over the world. What is it you're going to be teaching the kids around the world, Jaden?
I want to teach the kids not to be swayed by society and the educational system that comes in and tries to teach you things that are learning of books and not of the world. And I want to teach them that you can't be just any, you can be anybody you want to be as long as your parents are insanely rich and don't really raise you.
You also mentioned when you're talking about opening these schools, you're going to do 2 in the United States, 2 in Europe,
yes,
2 in China, India,
right.
Russia, Africa. Why
all at
2?
The same time?
Well, yeah, why?
Because you need 2 schools, because you need 1 school for your sister and then 1 for you.
I thought these were for students. You were gonna bring in students from around the world to learn from you.
Yes, and then I'll be teaching at 1 school, and then Willow will be teaching at the other school.
Okay.
It'll be like mystery schools. Everybody will be like, what are we learning here? And I'll say, I don't know. It's a mystery. You'll find out later when everyone is revealed to be everybody's misfits. What?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54. What about tickets for the Los Angeles Clippers home opener against the Dallas Mavericks this Thursday night at Staples Center? Plus, you qualify to win a grand prize that involves upgraded seats, VIP valet parking, Lexus Courtside Club entrance, the Hyde Lounge, participate in the halftime fan tunnel. Lots of cool stuff in the grand prize drawing. But let's first get you into Staples Center for the Clippers. How are we going to give these tickets away, kids?
Well, I don't know if you know, but Rodney Bingenheimer has been a season ticket holder forever.
Wow.
Yes.
Rodney doesn't strike me as a guy who would even follow sports.
I wouldn't have thought that either. But apparently he goes to every game and knows every player and every statistic. He's crazy into it.
So Rodney is a Clippers historian. That's what you're telling me. Okay. All right. So we'll look for Clippers fans who want to see their boys by stumping Rodney. You call and ask a trivia question about the Los Angeles Clippers. And if you stump Rodney, you go into the drawing to win these tickets for Thursday night's home opener. Call now 1-800-520-1067. Stump Rodney coming up just after 7 for Clippers tickets. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Speaking of tickets, Friday night, if you're down there in Orange County, we're going to be at the Improv in
Irvine, California. Me and Kevin Smith doing Hollywood Babylon. It's our special Halloween Hollywood Babylon. Something I like to call Hollywood Boobalon.
Right?
Come on down in costume. We're going to be giving out prizes for the best costumes. I will be in costume myself, and I'm very excited about my costume. I'm looking forward to it.
You know, hard, oh, hell no!
How hard it is to find assless chaps? It's really difficult, but I was able to hunt a pair down, so good times.
Hell no!
Go to improv.com for more details and tickets. Just click on the Irvine link, and there you'll find us for this Friday night. California.
No.
It is Monday morning, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Martian, number one, $15.9 million, made it so. Goosebumps was number two. Bridge of Spies. The Last Witch Hunter, in its debut, made a little over $10 million. Good enough to make that number four at the box office. Hotel Transylvania 2 came in at number five. Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension, was sixth. In its debut, made $8.2 million. Then Steve Jobs, Crimson Peak, The Intern, and Sicario. No surprise here. Yet another Bill Cosby accuser came forward on Friday afternoon. Gloria Allred, the attorney for seemingly all of them, was by her side as a woman identified only as Dottie at a press conference in New York City claimed that she agreed to meet Cosby for an audition at his home in the Upper East Side of New York in 1984. At the time, she had just turned 30 years old, and she was trying to break into show business, and she thought this would be her way. Cosby was going to give her a chance. She got there. Cosby, of course, gave her a drink, which sickened her, and then she threw up. You would think that, all things considered, although it didn't seem like that at the time, would be the best-case scenario. If you got sick, then maybe things wouldn't progress from there. Well, you'd be wrong. She says he took her upstairs, bathed her, cleaned her up, brought her back downstairs, and then he raped her, according to the woman. I couldn't understand why I did not fight him off, she said afterwards when she realized that she was drugged. I could not believe what was happening to me. Ms. Allred says she has more accusers who still yet will be coming forward to tell their stories at further press conferences in the future. So a grim story just gets grimmer.
I wonder how many of them there are, all told, Ralph. Because remember, there's going to be a lot we'll never hear from.
Are we close to 50 now?
Yes.
We're over 50.
Over 50.
Yeah. Beyond disturbing.
I mean, he might be the worst serial rapist in history.
Maybe. In TV news, The Player with Wesley Snipes. The bad news for that series, the series order has been cut just to 9 episodes, with the last one currently being filmed. NBC will be shutting down production afterward. Not a good sign.
Wop, wop, wop.
May not be renewed. I can't imagine why not. Who doesn't want to see a show about people who bet on crime, whether it will happen or not, and then hire a guy to fight the crime and then bet on whether he will be able to succeed in battling the crime or not that they've set up for him to fight and then bet on. It's like it's ripped from today's headlines. It's so realistic.
It's a true story.
And it just seems like great television to me.
I had no idea that's what it was even about.
Yeah, that's what it's about.
How is it, Kevin?
I have not seen it.
What? Oh, it has so many louds in it.
You've seen it.
No.
You're on it.
Come on, I have seen it.
You play the DJ on it.
It looks like your kind of show.
No, it, sort of, except for that it looks terrible.
That's what I'm saying.
How dare you?
But they bet on crime.
They do bet on crime.
And speaking of television, tonight is the hotly anticipated Supergirl premiere on CBS. I had a chance to check out the premiere episode over the weekend, and I think people are going to like it. It is very fun. It is energetic. The only problem, and this is the problem with a lot of pilots, is they're jamming a ton of exposition into this show because they're trying to set everything up for all the future episodes. So it does seem a little overburdened, perhaps, by exposition and plot lines and character introductions. But I think once the show gets going, it's really going to find its stride. And she's just terrific. Melissa Benoist, who plays the lead, she is just adorable in the show. So I think you'll enjoy it. Maybe we'll check out
Supergirl. She looked pretty hot.
Jeb Bush will be watching.
So weird.
I guarantee you that. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Emilia Clarke. Of course, you know her from Game of Thrones, 29 years old today. John Heder, Napoleon Dynamite himself, 38 years old. Seth MacFarlane, a gentleman I owe a great deal to. Good man. Genius. Can sing. He can write. He can direct. He can act. He does silly voices. What more do you need? 42 years old today. Keith Urban, 48 years old. Tom Cavanaugh, of course, from The Flash. Did you see The Flash?
So good on that. I haven't seen the latest one, no.
He's back. Reverse Flash is back. And at the end of last season, he disintegrated.
Yeah.
So what's up? Right? What's up, The Flash?
What's up?
Looking forward to this season of that show. Cary Elwes is 53 years old today. Dylan McDermott's 54. Rita Wilson turns 59. Hillary Clinton, who will be on our buddy Jimmy Kimmel's show this week on Thursday night, she is 68 years old. And game show host Pat Sajak, who has been making a lot of money over the past 20 years or so, just saying, pick a vowel. That's what I'm talking about. Wheel of Fortune! Vanna, turn those letters. Oh.
This is sort of weak by theme song standards.
Ah, awesome. Is that Kenny G?
I don't know.
Great thing in Vegas when you walk through the casino, all you hear is that song. And then
Wheel!
All right, K Rock. KROQ FM 106.7. It's the Rodney on the Rock show. Listening to Rodney on the Rock Bingenheimer show.
It's the Kevin and Bean show.
Listening to Rodney in the mornings. Rodney, finally, where I belong in the mornings.
No, we asked you to
not
come
early
by.
Early in the morning, like 2 o'clock in the morning, but that time in the morning when people are listening to the radio
driving
their cars.
We asked you to come in to help us.
Gary Newman had a song called Cars.
Right.
And that
he did.
It was about being in your car and being isolated. But
we needed you to help us give away.
People are listening to me, Rodney on the Rock Show.
We have Clippers tickets for the home opener against the Dallas Mavericks at Staples Center this Thursday night. We understand, we've been told that you are a huge fan of the Los Angeles Clippers.
I love the Groovlers. They're one of my favorite
Clippers.
Bands.
Clippers.
And they've got new music coming up next from
so we
the
have
Groovlers.
Asked listeners who would like to, an opportunity to stump Rodney to call now at 1-800-520-106. I'm going to ask you a trivia question about the Clippers. If they get past you, they go into the drawing to win some tickets for the home opener Thursday night. It's time to play Stump Rodney.
Yeah, wig-wham, bam.
All right, that's Godhead. Love that song.
Let's start with some easy ones for you, Rodney, kind of work our way into it. Why don't we go to Mario on line 8 in Los Angeles, give you a softball question here to mix sports metaphors.
Rodney, these are questions about the Clippers.
All right, the band The Clippers from the 60s?
No.
Nope. And it's not about 80s music, and it's not about 90s music. It's about sports, okay? So put on your Clippers thinking cap here, all right?
Mario in Los Angeles, hi there.
Hi, what's up, party people?
Stump Rodney.
Okay, so my question is, before the L.A. Clippers became the Los Angeles Clippers, what city did they play for?
What city did they play in before L.A.?
Pretty easy question, Rodney.
City?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They weren't always in L.A.
All right. A city.
Right.
Berlin.
You really? You think they used to be in Germany and then they moved to Los Angeles?
Berlin Clippers, when the wall came down, they moved.
Is that accurate, Mario?
No, it is not. They played for the San Diego team as the San Diego Clippers.
All right. You are correct. You are in the drawing. Well done. Let's try another easy one.
What did I win?
Let's go to Brian in Anaheim. He's up next on line 2. You don't win anything, Ronnie. You're supposed to try to answer the questions from the callers.
Seems like a bad deal for me.
Hi, Brian.
What's up, Kevin and Bean?
Stump Rodney.
All right.
Good luck. He's on fire.
All right, Rodney. What venue did the Clippers play at?
The Dream Academy. Life in a northern town.
Is it the Dream Academy,
all
Brian?
All right.
No.
It is
Staples Center.
Staples Center. You know Staples Center,
that's
right,
Rodney? That's ridiculous. That's a store to buy office supplies. Why would anyone even play a game in there?
You know, you've been there. You've seen concerts there, right?
You
at Staples Center.
So.
You're familiar with the place. Okay, maybe not. All right, let's try another easy one. Let's go to Montebello, line 5. Let's get Jose in the drawing, perhaps.
Jose, hi there.
What's going on, guys? I want to ask Rodney, what's the new owner of the Clippers' name?
New owner.
New owner of the Clippers.
Huge story recently.
Right? Very famous, very popular, very rich man.
Elvis Costello. All right.
Jose, is it Elvis Costello?
It's rich and popular.
Nah, man, it's not Elvis Costello.
It is.
It's Steve Ballmer, man.
Steve Ballmer.
Rodney, we were told you were a Clippers fan. Did we get bad information, or are you just having some trouble this morning?
I thought the Clippers was a band in the 60s.
Mm.
That's where the confusion was.
We got some bad information.
All right. All right, let's make it a little tougher since you're doing so well so far. Let's go to Paul and Downey on line 7. Let's see what you remember about one of the Clippers' most popular players. Hey, Paul.
Hey, what college did Blake Griffin go to?
The Dream Academy.
That was the answer for the venue.
Oh, what's the matter you?
did he go to What's the Matter You?
Paul?
The Dream University Academy.
University of Oklahoma.
I don't think so.
All right. You hold on for the drawing, all right?
Check that one. I feel like somebody checked that guy.
By the way, if there were a What's the Matter You, that would be a pretty cool college thing.
All right.
All right. Who do you like that's left on hold here, Kevin?
Buster Poindexter.
They seem tough. They seem too tough for Rodney, some of these questions.
All right. Billy Vera and the Beaters.
All right. Let's go to Elmer on line one. Hi, Elmer.
¿Qué onda, Kevin and Bean?
Hola. Stump Rodney.
Hola. Which Clipper won the slam dunk contest by jumping from the free throw line?
Sinead O'Connor.
Now, Rodney, she's not a Clipper.
You know that, right, Rodney? She doesn't play professional basketball.
She uses Clippers on her hair.
It's true.
Thank you.
That's tough to argue. Yeah.
Thank you, lady.
Yeah. Good point.
Welcome. Elmer, is it Sinead O'Connor?
No.
All
it's
right.
Brett Berry.
What did I win?
All right. You're in the drawing. Let's do one more, and let's make it Michael San Gabriel line 4, please, to get in the drawing for Clippers tickets for the home opener versus the Mavericks this Thursday night at Staples Center.
Hey, Michael, you're on the air. Stump Rodney.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Hi.
My question is, what current head coach, and when I say that, I mean head coach, used to be a Clipper player?
Terrence Trent D'Arby. All right, what I win.
Isn't he the guy that's saying wishing well? Isn't that who you're thinking of, Rodney?
And is also a head coach.
Michael, is it Terrence Trent D'Arby?
No, it is Doc Rivers.
Dallas Cooper.
I think he's already answered. He's just Doc Rivers.
Doc Rivers, yeah.
All right, Rodney, I hope that you do a little better than that, but I'm sorry. Everyone is qualified to win the tickets for this Thursday night and the grand prize for the upgrade with the valet parking and the Lexus Courtside Club and the halftime fan tunnel and so much more. We'll do that grand prize during Thursday. But, Allie, who's our winner?
The winner is Paul.
All right. Yay! Paul McCartney?
Yes.
Oh, I love Paul McCartney.
Paul, congratulations.
Congratulations, Sir Paul. Maybe I'm amazed. It's one of my favorite songs of all time. Coming up next.
Yeah, Wigwam Bam.
The Monkees.
Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone joins us in studio next hour with a breakdown of Week 7 of the NFL. And by the way, playing the new Weezer song next. How about that? You haven't heard this yet, Kevin.
I'm not.
It's so crazy. It's so wacky. It's so Rivers. He's either on the meds or off the meds. I can't remember which one makes lyrics like this happen, but you're going to love it. We'll play new Weezer coming up in a minute here on K-Rock.
It's Halloween week.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And we haven't played a lot of Halloween music.
Because the bad man has been fighting it. That's why.
Because most of them suck.
Nope.
How dare you?
That's why.
Allie, you're with me that there's been not enough goddamn Halloween spooks on the show this month.
Agree 100%.
Not enough two eyeballs either.
100%.
And we're hearing from so many listeners who says, guys, what up? It's Halloween. It doesn't feel like Halloween because I'm not hearing these songs on Kevin and Bean. What's up? So we thought we'd carve out a little time just for a taste so we can all get in the Halloween spirit because the day is coming up on Saturday. What's up first?
First is Halloween Spooks,
yeah,
which is one of the worst songs that's ever existed.
How dare you?
I think we all agree on that.
Nope.
Oh.
Halloween, Halloween, ooh, Halloween. Ghostly things are gonna happen. Ooh, ah, ooh, ah. Halloween spooks outside my window. Halloween spooks behind the tree. I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window pane.
Look at Allie dancing to the song. And this is the part you love the most, right, Kevin?
I gotta tell you, I honestly think that you guys love it just because I hate it.
Awesome.
That part where they're just making stupid noises.
They're making ghost witch noises.
You don't like.
I love it.
You don't like it.
I love it.
You can't like it. It's not possible.
And by the way, we hear from so many listeners who go to Not Scary Farm or they go to the Universal Horror Nights, and every time, you know, that song comes up, they always give us a shout out and think about us. So I'm glad that when you hear Halloween Spooks, you think of the Kevin and Bean Show. It's just they're having fun, Kevin. Try fun once in a while.
I like fun. I just think my favorite stuff at Halloween is actual scary. I like actually scary stuff. I don't want it to just be a jazz quartet with jazz hands doing some kind of noises.
Well, you're wrong.
That's just dumb.
You're wrong.
So when you say actual scary stuff, you're talking talking about the terrifying two eyeballs is what you're talking
about. Two eyeballs. That's what I'm talking
from
about.
From our 10-year-old listener McCall, right?
My favorite. The guy, how old is he now? Do we know he's like 30?
I think he's like 30, something like that now.
He did this when he was 10 on a cassette tape, and this is the best recording that we can get of it.
Love it so much.
By the way, way better.
What a great hook. I mean, Pharrell would pay $1 million for a hook like that. And that kid came up when he was 10. Love Two Eyeballs so much.
One of the problems that I find with Halloween music is that the Monster Mash, is that there are so few real classics hits. Mm-hmm. And the Monster Mash to me is just...
the greatest Halloween song of all time ever?
Well, I mean, it seems old.
Well, 1962 is when the Monster Mash first hit, but I feel like it is still popular today. No, I love the Monster Mash. I love Bobby Boris Pickett. I love everything Bobby Boris Pickett does.
Including all of his other hits, like...
Right. Well, he had the Christmas follow-up, The Monster's Holiday. I'm a fan of that, too. But here's a little bit of the original Monster Mash, still sounding great all these years later.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
It was a graveyard smash. He did the
mash. All right, what's your read on Monster Mash, Allie? When you hear it this time of year, does it put you in the spirit or no?
I honestly want to put pumpkin spice all over me, and it's a good time.
It's great.
I love
it
so much.
I'd like to explore this further.
Go on.
I don't hate it. I just feel like it's old.
You're just over it.
But if I hear it once or twice, that's good.
So in other words,
it's not as good as its brother.
You hate nostalgia. That's what it is.
Well, Kevin hates anything old.
But that makes no sense.
Anything old. Look, Kevin's favorite song in the world, he will hate in 2 years because now it's 2 years old.
That's just ridiculous.
Yes, his brother. It's a sister song to the Monster Mash. Is that what you're getting?
Yes, Climate Mash.
The Climate Mash. Now, Allie, you don't know about the Climate Mash.
No.
But Bobby Boris Pickett was still alive in 2005. I know that's hard to believe. And he decided to get political, and he did a cover version of his own Monster Mash called the Climate Mash.
No.
Yeah, and it's worse than you can imagine.
And it is. It's sad. But, we'll let you be the judge hearing it for the first time this morning.
We were hiking past the White House late one night when our eyes beheld an eerie sight. The president appeared with folks very strange, the zombies and vampires of global climate change.
Oh, God.
The zombies and vampires of global climate change.
Now, I don't remember the details of how this happened, but did Al Gore kidnap Bobby Boris Pickett and hold a gun to his head and force him to make this song?
I don't know. I just know that it's pretty sweet.
It's not global warming, say oil company disciples. Our math tells us it's natural weather cycles. These claims from industry heavies let the president rest behind his own protective levees.
See? It doesn't hit home quite the same way as the original.
Do you think Bobby Boris Pickett went, you know what? I'm going to be able to make a big difference here by doing a parody of...
Claims from these and other industry heavies let the president rest behind his own protective levies. Come on, guys. And you can dance to it.
They're doing the climate mash.
The climate mash.
Real science is bad.
The climate mash.
Solutions are tried.
The climate mash.
And they do it for the cash.
Yeah.
The creatures were having fun. Our Congress was overrun.
Our Congress was overrun.
By the way,
and it's a janky version too. He's got terrible backup singers.
Yes, I think they went to Home Depot with a truck to get those backup singers. Just whoever was there that day, and he's making fun of anybody doing anything for the cash. Yet he recorded this song.
We couldn't tell the mindless zombies from the elected ones.
Oh.
Now we can stop this. We have the technology. But first we have to get past industry ideology. We need your help. I'm glad to show you how. Tell your leaders in Washington to save our climate now.
You're doing a heck of a job, zombie. Hey, the snow melted. Great. So we can drill over here. Yeehaw. And here. And here.
Yeah,
and here.
Uh-huh.
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
No. I feel like that's not quite finished.
That's the real thing.
Nope.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. That is Weezer, Thank God for Girls.
I will allow it. I like it.
Okay.
All right, then.
I like it
as
very
long
much.
As you'll allow it, we're all happy.
Okay.
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday morning. By the way, Andrew Siciliano next hour. Later in the week, Bruce Campbell's going to be joining us. How fun is that for Halloween week with his Ash versus Evil playing Saturday night, huh?
Yeah.
I've seen that, by the way. It's great.
Really?
Yep.
No surprise.
It's fantastic.
I love Bruce. Love him so much. Very excited he's coming in. First, though, Bean makes us guess.
Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean makes us guess.
Yes.
Allie, why do you like this game so much? Ralph always wins.
I don't know why I like it so much, but I do.
Yeah. Ralph is really good at this kind of
depends
guessing
on whether
game.
Allie's keeping score or not.
That's
depends on who wins.
Not good.
Whoever she
this
lets
one,
win.
This one, I think you're going to have an advantage on. What's your name, Ralph?
I'm Ralph.
This is going to be. This is a topic that you love so much.
Batman.
It is the 40 greatest cop shows of all time.
Oh, wow.
The 40 greatest cop shows of all time. Now, this is according to Paste Magazine, which is a very well-respected, reputable website that covers music and movies and games and comedy books and the whole deal. So I tell you the source so that I can also add this. Don't shoot the messenger, okay? Not my list. It's a fine list. But there are so many great cop shows that I can think of two or three that I would put in my top 10 of all time that are not in their top 40 list, okay?
Mm.
So I'm saying there's a lot of room for a large margin of error here in terms of everybody's individual list.
Mm.
So don't yell at me if something you think should be on the list isn't, because I didn't make the list. I'm just reporting the list, okay?
All right.
Okay.
There's a lot of caveats here.
Seriously.
All right, let's just get into it.
The 40 greatest cop shows of all time. Kevin, you get the traditional first guess. And Allie, please keep score if you would.
Cop Rock.
Cop Rock, I'm sorry to say, is an excellent guess, Kevin. It did not make their top 40.
The reason Bean had to explain it away, because it should be in the top two.
Thank you.
It's not, so Paste has to be punished.
Thank you.
We are going to try to come up with the top 10. That's our goal here by the end of the segment, is top 10. Ralph Garman, your guess.
Well, of course, you know, a sentimental favorite of mine would have to be NYPD Blue.
NYPD Blue is number 10 on the Paste list of the greatest cop shows of all time. Number 10.
It's only the 10th?
Yes,
oh,
that's right.
Bite me, Paste.
Alan McKay.
The Wire.
Number one. Yeah, The Wire is the greatest cop show of all time, according to Pace. Yeah, so number one, number 10 so far. Kevin, can you fill in a blank in the middle, please?
Chips.
I'm going to say that no, Chips is not on their list. Good guess, though. Ralph Garman?
Hill Street Blues.
Hill Street Blues is number four on the list, the greatest cop shows of all time. Well done.
I have a feeling it's not on there, and they're wrong. But Southland.
Oh, that was my next guess!
You don't get a point. It is not in the top 10. It is at number 26 on their list. And by the way, if I were making this list, that would be top 10 for sure.
Top five.
Absolutely top 10 for me,
yes.
Southland. But I'm sorry, no point for you, Allie.
All right.
Blue Bloods.
That was the Dave's hopeful number one. Was Blue
that
Bloods.
Should be number zero before one.
But I'm sorry, Blue Bloods is not on the list.
Just the one that invented the genre. I think you got to give it to Dragnet, don't you?
All right. Here's where Pace and I cross go in separate directions.
Disagree?
Dragnet, part ways is the expression I was looking for, is my probable number one or two of all time. Not on their 40.
Wow. That's
not on
crazy.
The 40?
Not on their 40.
It invented television police drama.
Yes. Yes. I think that is the greatest oversight of the whole list.
That's madness.
It is madness. I agree. Allie McKay.
Was Get Smart, was he a cop?
No, he's a spy.
Oh.
You're the worst.
T.J. Hooker.
You're the worst of everything. Of all the bad, you are the most.
I remember a shoe.
You remember a shoe. He didn't ask me for the top 10 shoe TV shows. I remember a shoe.
So far, we only have number one, The Wire, number four, Hill Street Blues, number 10, NYPD Blue. Kevin, can you find something else inside the top 10?
Cops.
Oh. Cops is a great guess, but no, not at all.
Adam 12.
No, I'm sorry. Adam McKay.
Wow.
So we still haven't gotten seven of them?
Adam 12, by the way, another classic.
Yeah, classic. Absolutely.
There are police on Law and Order.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Law and Order is number 19 on their list.
That's
Alan.
Not a cop show. It's a legal drama.
They consider it a cop show.
This is the worst list you've ever presented to us.
No, the Star Wars list was horrible.
Again.
Why don't we call it Bean Makes Us Guess Bad List?
This is Pace Magazine's list of the 40 greatest cop shows
of
all time.
Well, reject it and pick something else next time.
I will say, though. That
read the list before you bring it in.
There are tons of great cop shows that you guys haven't guessed. So you haven't exactly been sterling on this either. Let's go around one more time. Kevin, your final guess.
Reno 911.
That's number 11 on their list, by the way, of the greatest cop shows of all
now
time.
Now they're just kidding around. Oh. Now they're just goofing.
Ralph Garman.
Barney Miller.
Barney Miller is number 15 on their list. Allie McKay.
The Shield.
Is number two.
The Shield.
The Shield is number two. All right, sure. give me the scores. Who won, and then I'll tell you what else is
Ralph
in their
has
top
two, and I have two.
It's according to your math.
So should we go around one
there
more time?
Is a shoe in the math?
See if we can get another point just to get a winner here. You have none, Kevin. You have none. Let's go around one more time, see if we can get a winner.
CSI?
CSI is I don't see it. It is definitely on here somewhere, but not in the top 10, I'm sorry to say. Yeah.
Top 10 cop shows of all time. Boy. I'm trying to think like Pace now. That's why I'm getting confused. Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine is on the list at number 12, Ralph. I'm so sorry. Just outside. All right, Allie, here's your chance to win it, if you can get one.
T.J. Hooker.
Still, in case it got added to the list.
I got
late
nothing.
Entry.
I got nothing.
All right. Well, a happy end to tie. Here's what they had on their list. The Wire was number one. The Shield was number two. At number three, they put True Detective, season one, at number three.
I guess so, yeah.
Number four was Hill Street Blues. Number five, they have Justified. Number six, Homicide, Life on the Street. Number seven, Law and Order, SVU. Number eight, Luther. Kevin, I'm surprised you didn't come up with that. I know you love Luther.
I just started watching that.
Oh, wait.
So good.
Law and Order was on there in top 10?
Law and Order SVU.
SVU. I said Law and Order.
Which is at 19.
Which has 14 series, so any one of them could count.
No, BB's telling you that
Law and
Order was at number 19, Fargo was number 9, by the way, on their list. Then NYPD Blue. Some of the other ones, by the way, that are on this list that we didn't mention are Criminal Minds, Miami Vice. Monk, Castle, Starsky and Hutch, Life on Mars is on their list. 21 Jump Street is on their list. What was offensive to me, besides Dragnet not being on their list, was no Rockford Files.
Wasn't a cop.
Okay,
that's
good.
Why.
Okay, good.
Maybe that would be in the Private Detective series.
That's good. I feel better about this. And
do
how
you
about
know the Golden Girls?
Do you remember a shoe? Do you remember a shoe in the Rockford Files?
How about no Dexter, by the way?
Serial killer, not a cop.
Serial killer who worked as a police officer.
He was a forensic scientist.
Forensic scientist in a police station in Miami with all cops running around him.
I will accept Dexter.
Just saying. I think Dexter should have been on the list.
What about T.J. Hooker, though?
I'm sorry, did not make the list.
What about Get Smart?
This has been Bean Makes Us Guess. Bean Makes Us Guess,
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
Monday morning, Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Because it is a Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Martian, still number one, $15.9 million. Kept it at the top of the list this weekend. Goosebumps was second, then Bridge of Spies. The Last Witch Hunter, $10.8 million in its debut, made it number four. Hotel Transylvania 2 was number five. Then Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension, debuted with $8.2 million. That was good enough to make it number six this weekend, followed by Steve Jobs, Crimson Peak, The Intern, and Sicario. In TV news, tonight's the big, long-awaited premiere of Supergirl on CBS. Had a chance to see it over the weekend. Melissa Benoist is just charming as hell as Supergirl.
Bless you.
The pilot itself, like a lot of pilots, is sort of bogged down by a ton of exposition. They got a lot of characters introduced, a lot of situation to set up. But I think once this thing goes into series, it's really going to be fun to watch. So,
do we get to see any of her life on Krypton?
Very little. The very beginning, they sort of give you a brief origin story of how she was, and this is not a spoiler, she was put in a separate rocket ship from little baby Kal-El to also go to Earth in order to protect her baby cousin. Jor-El, Superman's dad, and her father are brothers.
Okay.
And so Jor-El knows that Krypton's going to explode, the explosion, the destruction of the planet is imminent, so he sends his only son to Earth to save him. And so what they do is they send Kara in a separate spaceship. She's 13 years old. She's much older than baby Kal-El, and says, follow this spaceship to Earth and then protect your baby cousin. Mm. But she gets waylaid on the trip. So Superman lands, grows up, becomes the greatest hero of all time, and then her ship lands after the fact.
She's not very good at doing her job then, is she?
Well, it wasn't her fault. She's not a pilot. It was on autopilot, and things happen that... give her a little bit of a detour. But when she shows up, she's like, oh, I guess he doesn't need my help. He's Superman, so I'm just going to be over here for a while hanging out. And then she decides to start using her powers for good, too. So a lot of good stuff on that show. While we're talking about television, you know, it looks like, due to the fact that networks are now competing with streaming and internet television, they are desperately trying to develop TV shows that have a built-in audience or have a high recognition factor already. So they're basing a lot of TV shows on old TV shows, on movies, on stuff you're already familiar with. This latest one that has been announced, though, made me laugh because it sounds awful. It is a series based on the TV on the feature film All of Me. Remember All of Me? Steve Martin and Lily Tomlin?
Not really.
Steve Martin gets possessed by Lily Tomlin's spirit, her soul. This is not ringing a bell?
Not really.
Lily Tomlin's a dying rich woman, and so she asks a psychic to transfer her soul into the body of a younger, healthy woman. And Steve Martin is in the room because he's her attorney, and accidentally the soul goes into him.
Mm-hmm.
So now he has to live with two different souls inside of him, his own and Lily Tomlin's, who's talking to him constantly.
Was it good?
And also has control over his body. It's an amazing film. It's a great, great comedy. But now they're going to make a TV series based on that.
Okay.
Where each week, a different person will be transferred into the attorney's body. So every week, it's going to be someone else living inside his body with him.
Wow.
That can't get old, right?
Wow. So this is sort of like what happens to our girl on iZombie, where every week she eats somebody else's brain and takes on their personalities and traits.
Right.
Sort of similar.
But in this case, the soul will be living inside the lawyer's body and also can control part of his body. That was the funny part of All of Me. Steve Martin had to deal with half of his body was controlled by Lily Tomlin and the other half was controlled by him. And some great physical comedy results. But I don't know if this will work or not.
NBC
is working on this. NBC is working on that. So we'll have to wait and see.
And unless you get somebody as talented as Steve Martin.
Yeah, that's my thing.
That's the problem.
They're remaking Jumanji. You ready for another Jumanji?
Nah.
Jumanji, was that a game?
The game that came
Robin
to life.
Robin Williams' film about the animals game that they played. Stuff. Yeah. Loved that film. I don't know if we need a new rebooted Jumanji.
Is it
Sony
film
Pictures
or TV?
Apparently film? Is working on another feature film. They're working on a script and it will be fast-tracked. The studio would like to release it next Christmas. So we'll see Jumanji sooner than later.
All right.
And there's a sequel to Romeo and Juliet in the works. finally.
It's about time.
Why doesn't someone tell that story, that Romeo and Juliet story? Why has that been allowed to lay fallow for all these years?
I don't want to get involved in spoiling the story for anybody.
Yeah,
but
a sequel?
How is there a sequel to that?
Uh-huh, mm-hmm. Right. Well, what happens to the Capulets and the Montagues after Romeo and Juliet are out of the picture? What happens then? Mm. Right?
Yeah. So it's Romeo's little brother and Juliet's big sister. We find out what their wacky adventures they get into.
And the spirit of one of them gets trapped in the other one's body. and then they move it around, and then they all play Jumanji. And you have to roll double sixes or else you can't get out of the zoo. F you, Hollywood.
There are no new ideas. You know that, Ralph.
There certainly aren't now. It used to be people had similar plot lines that would be reused, and that's why they say there was no new ideas, because the stories were always boy meets girl or something like that. Now, literally, there's no new ideas because down to the titles, they're just taking old scripts and just reshooting them. We live in a golden time. Today's celebrity birthday is Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones is 29. See, that's an original story, Game of Thrones.
There you go.
Sure. Yeah, you take an original product and you put it out there and people eat it up like candy.
People love it.
John Heder. You remember him. It's Napoleon Dynamite. But let's not forget also Blades of Fire. Mm-hmm. Right?
Exactly. Blades of Glory.
Blades of Glory. Yeah.
Great in that movie.
Chariots of Fire. Blades of Glory.
Right. Yeah. I always get those two films confused.
Great in that film. Keith Urban's 48 years old today. Tom Cavanaugh, 52. Great actor. Cary Elwes is 53. Dylan McDermott's 54 years old. Rita Wilson, a lovely and talented actress, and of course, also known as Mrs. Tom Hanks. She's 59. Hillary Clinton, 68. Pat Sajak, 69. And Seth MacFarlane, boy genius, celebrates his 42nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Hey, we want to open up the phone lines now for Kevin Bean's What's Good. This is where you call on any topic that you would like to get on the air. It's your chance to be a part of the Kevin Bean Show, something that we have not yet talked about yet that you think we should. By the way, a lot of complaints about the 40 greatest cop shows of all time list, Ralph.
Sure. Well, it was a dumb list. Yeah, okay. And you're to blame for bringing it to us.
Including Daryl, who writes in, what about Mother Effin' Kojak?
Oh, who loves you, baby?
Right. What about that? So anyway.
He had a lollipop.
You want to call about, now are we taking calls on The Walking Dead, Kevin? Could that be a topic that somebody
spoilers.
Might want to add? I think if we give the warning ahead of
spoilers.
Time that we're going to be discussing plot points, that would be okay.
Yes.
So if you want to call about that, or you want to call about your weekend or whatever else, Halloween, whatever's on your mind, give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll ask the question, what's good? And I shouldn't say this, but the best caller today wins a secret prize.
And you shouldn't say that because...
Because you don't want people calling just to win prizes. I'm saying you got to have something good to say to get on the air.
Right.
But just as a bonus, the best caller today also wins a pretty awesome secret
Well
prize.
Done, Bean. I think you've set yourself up for failure nicely there.
1-800-520-1067. Your call is next on K-Rock. 1-800-520-1067. We are ready to believe you. Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. On your mind, your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up so we can be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good?
By the way, Steve has been on it lately. Have you noticed, Allie? I hit it, Steve, and boom, it's right there.
It's not bad.
Steve's doing a good job.
Steve's doing great.
Let's start with our friend Rachel in Corona. I think she needs our help. Rachel, we're glad you called. We appreciate you listening. What's going on in your world, sweetheart?
So I work weekends, so I decided I haven't celebrated Halloween in a really long time. I want to throw a party on Thursday, which is kind of a weird day. So a lot of people canceled, so I was kind of reaching out, like just reaching for guests at this point. And I had a friend who I was actually friends with his wife, but they're like divorced. She's a lesbian now. She's a different state. So I was hitting
him up. Whoa. Hang on. I'm trying to follow this with a flowchart.
Long story short, I reached out to this person, and turns out that it's not this person anymore, but he has the same name and lives in the same city. And so I start talking to him. And I'm like, well, you know, do you want to come to my party? So I invited a stranger to my Halloween party.
Oh, murder. Rachel.
What? It doesn't necessarily mean murder.
She's going to get murdered.
The more the merrier.
But wait, the more the merrier, even if you don't know them?
It'll add to the thrill of the Halloween theme, having a real live murderer there.
Let me just say, I hope that's not true, but let me just say in Rachel's defense, turn this around, you guys. Most parties that you go to, even if they're parties at friends of yours' house, mm-hmm. there are going to be some strangers there. There are going to be some people you don't know. So it's not that weird to have somebody you don't know at a party.
Yeah, I have friends that are bringing their boyfriends that I've never met and girlfriends, and there's already been people I don't know, so why not?
Yeah, you
know?
Why not? So how long did you stay on the phone with this new Josh?
Oh, it was all texting, first of all, but it was texting for like 2 hours before I actually gave him any information.
All right.
Wow. I was just curious because he was actually very polite about it being a wrong number, and he was kind of going along with it, and I was like, it's hilarious, and we were just talking, and he seemed like a very nice person. He's actually around my age, and he goes to a local college, and he's on the sports team, so I have a kind of a way to verify
all right.
who he is.
I don't have any problem with Rachel inviting this person that she connected
well,
with via text
you.
To her
I'm
party.
I'm glad I have your permission. Thank you.
I will allow it. I will allow it.
What
now,
about
Rachel.
Josh's ex-wife that's a lesbian, she lives where?
She's kidding.
Just curious.
Hey, Rachel, let me ask you one more thing. Is there room for Beer Mug at your party? We would like to offer Beer Mug as somebody to, like maybe a local celebrity to kind of spice up your Thursday night Halloween party.
Oh, my gosh. That would be so amazing.
Wow. Awesome.
All right, we're gonna work it. We'll check with Beer Mug if we can get it. If he can make it, we're sending Beer Mug to your party.
If he
okay?
can make it.
Oh my gosh,
please.
You guys are amazing.
See, all right, hold on because we do have a prize at the end of What's Good today, and you may win it.
Let's go give out your address for all listeners.
Let's go to Mike in Calabasas. He's on line one. He sounds very hot under the collar today about something. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
What's good?
Well, here's the thing. I thought we as a society agreed upon a 24-hour no spoil alert policy. Was I wrong? Did I not get the memo that you have to wait 24 hours? After 24 hours, you can spoil something?
I mean, there have been different ideas on how late to wait. But once, if you're on Twitter, for example, I assume you're talking about The Walking Dead.
I am,
okay.
and I'm very upset about it.
If you're on Twitter, for example, the Walking Dead tweets, everybody else tweets. I mean, really, if I haven't watched The Walking Dead, I turn it off.
Stay off it.
Absolutely.
Right. But when people are sending you text messages of memes of the person who is dead saying, I'm calling in sick because a family member died, and you're like, what are they talking about? And then all of a sudden you look at your text messages and it's everywhere. Like, I stay off when it's Sunday night because you have Homeland, you have Walking Dead.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
There are some big spoilers that could happen.
Right.
So I don't even go on social media. But when people are texting you saying, can you believe what just happened? Oh, my God, I can't believe it.
Right, okay, so, well, I agree with that. If it's coming to you directly, that's not okay.
Via text.
That's not okay.
A dick move. But it's everywhere.
Right.
So
yeah.
It's sort of on you to avoid Twitter and any place else.
It is. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I have made a no policy on Sunday to go on social media for that reason.
All right.
But when your mom is texting you saying, are you sad? Are you okay? Do I need to come over and console you?
Oh.
That's the problem.
Mike,
well,
your mom is...
Mom just loves you, Mike.
She's watching The Walking Dead as well, and she's worried about you?
I
love that.
I kind of like Mike's mom.
Wow.
Look, Mike is right to be upset at his
friends.
Agreed.
Anybody that texts you that's ridiculous.
All right, thank you for the call, Mike. You hold on. We're almost out of time. Let's just do one more real quick because I want Allie to answer line six. Randy is in Pasadena. Allie is our expert for all things Star Wars.
Well, sure.
Randy, hi, you're on the air. What's good?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, this past weekend, I just saw the new Star Wars trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this character named Finn.
Sure.
And I always noticed that he's always tired and sweating and exhausted while the other characters are cool and calm. Why is he always tired?
Why is Finn tired? Mm-hmm. Allie,
you're the Black Stormtrooper expert. What's going on with Finn?
Well, I can't figure out in this latest one if he's in the TIE fighter and it's going to crash land on Jakku. I don't know what's happening.
Okay.
But it's not easy to fly those. I know that.
Right.
And if it's plummeting towards a place that you've never been before, that's a lot.
But Randy's point is everybody else seems crisp.
But also, he's in the stormtrooper gear.
Right.
Very hot.
Uh-huh.
It's very hot where he is. That's tiring. You're sweating a ton.
Right.
So let me
and
throw this out there.
And it appears also that he
You're
is
just
a
treading
Jedi
water right
in
now,
it
aren't
as
you?
Well. So does he then go from a stormtrooper to a Jedi? Like, that's a lot mentally.
Let me throw this out there,
you guys.
What if all the stormtroopers are sweating, but we just don't know it because we've never seen one with his helmet off before?
It's true.
What if it's just butt hot in there like it would be if you were a college mascot?
Yeah.
You know, one of those on the field. Maybe you're just dying in there all the time.
Yeah, a lot of swamp butt in those. You got
a lot of swamp butt. All right. Great question, though. Thank you so much, Randy. All right, guys. Here's the prize, and it's an unbelievable prize for one of our callers on hold. A pair of tickets to Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas with Danny Elfman at the Hollywood Bowl on Sunday, November 1st. That's this Sunday in the fifth row. Is it going to be Mike calling about spoiler alerts? Is it going to be Rachel with her sad Thursday night party? Or is it going to be Randy calling about Star Wars? What do you guys think?
I like Rachel, but she works on weekends. That's why she's having
exactly.
a party.
That's right.
Plus, who would go with her?
Right.
Because she said she doesn't have any friends.
How about Mike on line one, who can't even keep his own mom from spoiling
mom. He better bring his mom.
Walking Dead. Mike, how about Danny Elfman at the Hollywood Bowl Nightmare Before Christmas this Sunday night? Sound good?
That would be awesome.
And you have to take your mom.
That's okay. We'll take pictures together.
Fantastic. Aww. Thank you for calling.
What's good?
I got to tell you, I'm a little disappointed. It just occurred to me that we need an Andrew Siciliano theme.
Why don't we have a theme for Andrew?
We have a theme for everybody and everything.
That's a great point.
True.
He is the host of Around the NFL on the NFL Network, Monday through Friday at 3, and of course, DirecTV's Red Zone channel. Andrew, welcome, sir.
Hi, guys.
What's it? I know I learned something new about your viewers on the Red Zone every week because they always find something new to complain about. And yesterday they were complaining to you that there were only two late games.
They
as if you have anything to do with who has a bye week or what the schedule is.
You know, I have this idea, and I'm not even kidding. I've run up the ladder at DirecTV. We need to do a promo next offseason where I actually answer phones on Sunday. Like, I'm customer service and hosting the show.
Right.
Because everyone sends me their customer service complaints.
Okay.
Hey, you know, the roof fell off the satellite. The satellite fell off the roof. We have 120 mile an hour winds here. Or it's snowing. Can you come to my house and brush off the dish? Stuff like
who
that.
Who are they supposed to contact?
I don't know.
All right.
Yeah, there are only two games. And by the way, hate to break it to you, this coming Sunday, 6 days from now, week 8, there will only be two games at 1 p.m. our time.
And is that because of West Coast
angry email
bye weeks? Is that what it is?
Well,
or why?
I mean, it's a lot of things. First and foremost, 26 of the 32 teams in the league are in the Central and Eastern time zones. There are only six teams west of the Central time zone. So when you consider the fact that we're mid-season and everybody gets a bye, then yes, there are going to be days like this. And most teams don't like, and most fans in home markets who have tickets and are going to games, don't like 4 o'clock local starts on a Sunday. You have lives, you have kids, you have school to get ready for the next day. From a public safety perspective, you want people drunk in the parking lot from 7 a.m. for a 4 p.m. game. I mean, that's another issue as well. So generally speaking, they don't like to schedule
those
games.
They want 1 o'clock games.
Yeah, you want 1 o'clock games. And plus,
you
when you
go home
a game
daylight.
In London. Right, and there's another game in London this week.
Ugh, okay.
I hate those.
Why? Well, listen, what's wrong with
it's
London?
It's just dumb.
It's beautiful. Why is it dumb?
It's beautiful.
Dumb. Angry. You root for the team called New England.
Mm-hmm.
So you hate Old England.
Thank you.
Okay.
Exactly.
Just for the record.
Well done.
Well, what is your problem with the games in Britain?
Yeah.
Allie?
I
got to
say, if we don't have a team here, let's hold off
you
on
mean in
giving.
LA?
Yes.
Okay, here.
Where we are.
You will next year.
That's what I wanted to ask you about, Andrew. Yeah, tell me about the paperwork that's being filed today by the San Diego Chargers.
Okay, so this is not a big deal. I hate to downplay this for the Chargers fans one way or the other, whether you want them to move or want them to stay.
Right.
All three teams will file. The Raiders, the Chargers, the Rams will file for relocation. Write that down. The question is, when will they file? And that is simply, you know, paperwork. That's all it is. That doesn't mean
why
that
do they all have to do it then?
Because they all want. It's just meaning, hey, we're officially now. We want to officially be considered.
Okay.
We're trying to build a stadium. We've shown you those plans. Now here it is. Please take our application. Because the Chargers file first doesn't mean that they have any more of a chance of getting it approved.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in your view, will one of those teams move to Los Angeles?
Absolutely.
Next year?
I think absolutely
next
one will
year.
Next year.
Will it be the Rams?
Question is which one. It could very well be the Rams.
I
it
would
be the Chargers.
Like that. I support the Rams.
It could be the Chargers. did you see the sign yesterday, the Raiders fan?
You're going to have to be more specific.
Okay. It was written in English, and it was on a sign.
Then no.
And it was in the end zone after Amari Cooper's ridiculous Did you see Amari Cooper's touchdown?
I didn't. No.
Human beings are not supposed to be able to cut and not lose speed like he did yesterday.
Wow.
He is not human. Anyway, he gets into the end zone in San Diego, and a Raider fan, and there are a lot of Raider fans there, sounded like a Raider home game in San Diego, held the sign over the railing that said, not just win, baby, just move, baby.
Oh, nice.
And not surprisingly, there was no comma between move and baby. It just said, just move, baby. And I don't know, like, if it's ordering the baby to move. Like, please, baby, get out of my sight. Move now. But they did hang that sign over. And it could be the Raiders. But it's not going to be the Raiders alone. There's no way that is. The Raiders don't have the money to do it. It's not going to be the Raiders alone.
So it might be two.
The Raiders are only here as the second team behind either the Chargers or, in a less likely scenario, the Rams. Because the Chargers and the Rams are the ones here that are actually spending the money, building the stadiums, hypothetically, and moving everything forward. The Raiders are in the back seat with the Chargers here.
Okay.
By the way, after you do your customer service show next year on DirecTV, I also want you to do a show where you just correct the spelling and grammar on Raiders fan signs. I think that would be a fun half hour, too.
The Raiders are not unique in the fact that their fans sometimes bring signs to the stadiums that's
pretty
aren't
far down the list
correct.
Of offensive things of Raiders fans.
Well, the just win baby signs or T-shirts that Raiders fans have been wearing for years often lack the comma as well.
Yeah. That must be infuriating for you, putting that Syracuse education to waste.
You know, do you ever watch the signs on game day?
Yes, they're the best. I can't believe how offensive some of those are that get on TV.
I can't believe sometimes they double down and show them five times when they're offensive.
It's crazy.
But most of those, and those kids are in college, learning every day.
Sure, I love it. All right, Andrew Siciliano is here. We have eaten up all this time in segment one. We'll take a very quick break and come back, and we'll break down all the action from yesterday and also a preview of tonight's game with our friend from the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone, Andrew Siciliano, right up this game. Our friend Andrew Siciliano in studio with us like we do on Mondays from around the NFL and the NFL Network and the host of DirecTV's Red Zone channel. So where do you want to start with yesterday? How about Chip's Miami Dolphins?
Let's just take a break
and give Chip a round of applause.
Chip, was that the best Dolphins game you've seen in years?
It was the best in a long time, and it's been the last 2 weeks have been great.
First of all, what are you wearing, Chip? And I don't mean that in a creepy way.
Ryan Tannehill.
That is
Dolphins
a Ryan Tannehill jersey. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, she's all in. She's all in on Miami.
Continue.
So, thanks, Andrew. The best performances the last 2 weeks from the Dolphins I've seen in a long, long time.
And what's your takeaway on that? Now, granted, they were only playing Houston, Andrew, but are you encouraged by what you've seen so far since Coach Philbin was fired?
Absolutely. So, first of all, Dan Campbell, by the way, the new coach, is 39. Peyton's older.
Okay.
Right? He is the ultimate bro.
Yeah.
Dude. He took over. His press conference when he got the job, it was unbelievable. I don't want to rip the other guy, but, I mean, bro, we got to be better. And he said before the first game, I don't want to vomit on my shoes. That's all I care about.
Okay.
So he got through that. They, in their first 6 quarters of football, they outscored the other team 79-10. Is that good?
Yes, I would say that's good.
I would say that's a positive.
Now, they played two really bad teams.
Right.
Hey, let's turn it to Allie's Patriots. This is a fascinating game Thursday because it's the Patriots, who are undefeated and perfect with awesome hair, okay? And now the Dolphins...
Who are surging.
Who are not just surging. I mean, they have beaten the living snot out of two teams the last 2 weeks.
Right.
They have beaten them up, taken their lunch money, then held them down and given them a noogie and a wedgie and a swirly, everything imaginable. That's why you put the head in the toilet, right? Everything, right? Uh-huh. And this game's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, Chips, Dolphins, yay.
So when you say this game's awesome, you think it's going to actually be an even, well-matched, good game?
Well, that's why it could be awesome, because if the Patriots come out and beat them like 50-0.
That'd be great.
That's kind of awesome, too.
Right.
It's awesome.
You can't lose.
It has a train wreck possibility. It also has the possibility of the Patriots really getting a good fight from a team that has had all this talent and has now found whatever the magic potion, lotion, whatever speech is.
The Dolphins have put up a pretty good fight against the Patriots in the past.
Exactly. There you go.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Speaking of undefeated teams, there are a lot of people early in the season who said Carolina is undefeated technically, but they haven't played anyone. But in the last 2 weeks, they beat the Seahawks and the Eagles, who are good. Cam Newton's for real. You're talking about him, you're putting him in the conversation for MVP, right?
All right. So he's not going to win it because there's this Brady guy and there's this Rodgers guy. He's not going to win
other
it.
Other than those
but
two, right?
For players not wearing 12,
is that a category?
Probably the MVP. Andy Dalton wears 14, so there might be an argument there. But for players not wearing 12, his numbers aren't nearly as good as they have been in the past. His numbers aren't even nearly as good as they were when he was a rookie 4 years ago. But they win because of him. He is their run game. He is their red zone offense as well. He is, I mean, look, they lost their best receiver before the season in training camp in Kelvin Benjamin. They have a bunch of, with all due respect to Philly Brown and Ted Ginn, they have a bunch of parts as receivers.
Okay.
A bunch of guys that might not, like on other teams, would be fourth receivers.
Does that explain some of the interceptions?
It might. I mean, last night he threw three in the first half, and then I fell asleep. They won that game, right?
Yes, they won that game.
But he's kind of taking them on his back offensively. Any and everything runs through him. You take him out of there, you put Derek Anderson in there, no, not going to work at all. So, yeah, he should be in the MVP conversation, although he won't even come close to winning.
Right. Yeah.
So, yes, I mean, a lot of people should be in conversation, so you could...
Well, you need to have something to round out the category,
yes,
right?
Exactly. You need to have other people
two guys
up there
that could win, yes, and then other people.
You need the reaction shot at the Oscars, too, with the five box, with the other people just kind of shrugging their shoulders.
Yeah, of course. What else is you have as a takeaway from yesterday, Andrew? What else struck you?
Well, the Patriots did win again, and they won again with Tom Brady as the leading rusher. He ran for 15 yards. That had never, ever, ever happened before.
Yeah,
they dropped nine passes.
He doesn't run in a lot of touchdowns.
No. The Jets are really good.
They're really good.
And I don't know that anyone believed that. Now, they don't have a quarterback that's going to win games for you, but they could run the football. And they should have had a Hail Mary at the end, but Brandon Marshall had a brain cramp and couldn't line up right. They could have had one more second left, and Brandon Marshall blew it. And after the game said he should be walking back to Foxborough, which
he said that about himself.
He said that. I'm sorry to New York. I don't know why you say it and don't do it. I mean, I don't know. He said
sounds
it.
Better when you just say it than do it.
So there's that. What else? Oh, Adrian Peterson yesterday. Did you guys hear this story?
Yeah. Was this the chew?
Yeah.
The chew. So Adrian Peterson was downgraded Saturday.
Okay.
To questionable, meaning 50-50. Wait a minute. How'd that happen? The team had to issue a press release. Adrian Peterson now questionable. Okay. Well, something happened. He tripped coming down the steps. Maybe he's got the flu. Who knows? Well, he played. Fox, on its broadcast, reported, and it was a Fox game, that the reason he got ill Saturday was they had a bumpy flight from Minneapolis to Detroit, and during the bumpy flight, he swallowed his tobacco.
Oh, really?
Yes, and that's why he got sick. But he somehow fought through it. Kids don't chew tobacco. So after the game, he angrily denied it. By the way, he angrily denied it with a massive wad of chewing tobacco in his front lip. True story. Like Robert Klemko of SI said, it was the biggest wad of tobacco he had ever seen.
Now, Andrew, don't they have a no chewing tobacco policy in the MLB? You're not allowed to chew it if you're a baseball player, right?
Well, right, but you could do it in the locker room, probably.
Okay, just that during games you can't chew it. Okay, so football players, they're allowed to do it if they want.
Sure, and this allegedly happened on the plane.
Okay.
So he denied it and said, no, I ate some bad shrimp.
Okay.
Which, okay, I mean, some people are allergic to shellfish. However, like 4 years ago, Adrian Peterson ended up like hospitalized because he ate bad shrimp. So you would think
that he would never do that again.
That not only would he never do it again, but if it did happen again, and who am I? I'm not a doctor here.
I feel like you are.
Okay. But if he did eat shrimp again, that it would have had such an effect on him that maybe he wouldn't have played Sunday.
Mm.
Again, we're grasping for straws.
He swallowed his chew.
He sounds like he swallowed his chew.
Hilarious.
Which is nauseating.
What's your all-time favorite player injury?
It might be baseball. Actually, there are a couple of baseball ones. Henry Cotto was a Mariner outfielder years ago.
Before my time, go ahead.
Ruptured an eardrum with a Q-tip.
All right.
Wow.
There was also a pitcher whose name escapes me in San Diego who stabbed himself in the abdomen while using a knife to try to open up a DVD.
That's
like the plastic wrap around the DVD.
Yes.
He was using a steak knife and he stabbed himself in the belly.
What about Dustin Penner and pancakes?
Which was that one?
Remember that
yeah,
one?
Yeah,
he
from
was
the Kings.
Yeah, what are the making Kings? Pancakes, and he flipped it wrong, and then he was out.
He hurt his back.
His back.
What?
He hurt his back, back pancakes, making yeah. pancakes.
Well, hold on. I got a better one. Okay. Baseball, when I was a little kid, Glenn Allen Hill, he was an outfielder for the Blue Jays, okay. allegedly was deathly afraid of spiders, mm-hmm. and allegedly had a nightmare that he was being attacked by spiders, and he ran out of bed or was sleepwalking trying to fight the spiders, and he... either stepped through or fell into a glass coffee table.
Wow.
Wow.
That's
all
awesome.
Of these stories are baseball players.
They're all baseball players. And I mean,
right?
Like, I guess I've had a sleepwalking. I've never been a sleepwalker. Yeah. Sleep paralysis, yes. That's
sure.
spooky because the UFOs are coming to abduct you. But
sure.
sleepwalking, never. So I don't know how difficult it would be to do that.
That's funny.
With spiders all over me.
Well, the Adrian Peterson Chew story, that definitely goes on the list of crazy injuries. All right, we're almost out of time, Mr. Siciliano.
Yes, sir.
Is there any chance in a million years the Baltimore Ravens help me out in the division and beat the Arizona Cardinals tonight?
I mean, there's always a chance. Is it likely?
I mean, they are professional football players,
they
right?
They are professionals. They are getting paychecks.
Let's not be ridiculous.
I don't think it is likely. The game is in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay.
Andrew, before we go, one complaint. I would like the room to rule on this.
Okay.
I heard you, I believe it was last week, you said that he took it to his house.
Oh, yeah. But I did it because it was a
I
name.
I felt like...
No. Wasn't it...
I'm not positive that worked.
You're
not
right.
Sure
no,
you're
it
the
was
guy.
Awful.
To, I'm
was,
not sure you're the guy to pull off his house.
No, but there was so yesterday there was a guy on the Falcons who had a fumble recovery named Farizi.
Okay.
And I wanted to say Foshizi.
Right, which and did
because
you decide
it rhymes
against?
With Therese.
Right, we
I
get that.
Don't remember if I said it or not, but I did, to your point, think of the his house. Yeah. It was one of those, like, it's been 7 hours and I'm now officially slap happy.
I need to go to the bathroom. God, you can't pull that off.
No, I don't want to be
no his house.
That guy that throws in a
Kevin,
rap lyric.
Kevin, don't ever tell a black man what he can and can't say, all right?
I am Sicilian.
Andrew Siciliano around the NFL today at 3 on the NFL Network and next Sunday again on the DirecTV Red Zone channel. Great to see you, sir. Thanks for coming in.
Goodbye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 9.
Good times.
Good times indeed. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning. Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Ralph.
It is a Monday, and I want to give away something that'll make Monday a little bit easier to take. Mondays are rough. But if you are a James Bond fan...
Mm-hmm.
Then, see, you're the worst. One of the greatest, maybe the greatest movie franchise in the history of the medium.
I think okay. you could easily argue that.
I think you could, and I think I did. And there you are, just sitting there, just smugly, just confident in the fact that you have never seen a James Bond movie.
I'm not smug about
you're
it.
You're smug. You're like, yeah. I may make little jokes, but the fact that I've just deprived myself of all that pleasure.
Well, fine. So be it.
And
woman.
I don't understand the conscious choice of that either. I get it. Maybe if you're a kid, I don't know, they just don't look good. But then once you get to be an adult and, you know, Pierce Brosnan becomes James Bond and Daniel Craig becomes James Bond and everybody's raving about what great movies they are, go to the movies you like
I'm
movies.
Totally going to watch one.
Stop.
I will.
But why did you not go see Skyfall when it came out, when everybody was raving about what a great
busy.
Movie it was? Why did you,
you
not go?
You weren't
very
busy.
Yeah, super busy.
How about Spectre? You going to go see Spectre, Allie?
Is that coming out? I
yes,
will.
Spectre is coming out. November the 6th is the date
I'd
of
love
its
to
release.
See that.
All right,
well,
so you're going to go. All right,
sure.
Good.
If you're a real James Bond fan, not like Allie, and you'd like to see it early before your friends get to see it, then you're in luck because we're doing a very special K-Rock advance screening of Spectre on the Sony Pictures backlot.
Yay!
The studio that created Spectre is having a special screening for us right there on the lot. You'll get to see Daniel Craig and Christoph Waltz and Ralph Fiennes. The entire cast just looks outstanding. Oh, I can't wait for Spectre.
Looks so good.
I got to go to this screening. I got to go in the other room and call and try to get some tickets.
I don't think you can.
Spectre, of course, is the evil organization that James Bond has battled throughout his storied history. It's been a staple of the films, of course, in almost all of them. But Ian Fleming created Spectre for one of his books. Originally, Spectre first appeared in one of the Ian Fleming James Bond novels. If you know the name
of the James Bond novel where Spectre first appeared. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Give Beer Mug the answer, and the first five people with the correct answer will get a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advanced screening of Spectre.
The Pink Fruit Mountain.
It was not the Pink Fruit Mountain. No, that was one of the earlier books before Spectre was brought up.
For sure.
James Bond will return in The Pink Fruit Mountain. Call now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers with the correct answer. What Ian Fleming novel, James Bond novel, did Spectre first appear?
Tough question.
Not that tough. Not that tough if you're a Bond fan. Allie.
Yeah.
Is there a shoe in it? No, there's no shoes in James Bond movies.
Ever?
Well, they wear shoes.
Okay.
Technically, she's right then.
So...
It is Monday. It means we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Martian continues to be a juggernaut. $15.9 million. Kept it at number one. Goosebumps, Bridge of Spies, Last Witch Hunter, and Hotel Transylvania 2. The first top five movies at the box office. Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension, Steve Jobs, Crimson Peak, The Intern, and Sicario. Those are your top 10 movies at the box office. You'll notice Gem and the Holograms not in the top 10 this weekend. It's being labeled as one of the great bombs in movie history.
Wow.
I think it made like $800,000 this weekend. People stayed away in droves.
That makes me sad, Ralph, because like you, I'm a big fan of that little Aubrey Peoples, the actress who plays Gem in the film.
Well, how was it, Bean?
Well, I didn't see it, but she's Layla in Nashville. We love her.
And this movie looks like the movie Layla in Nashville would make in the series. That's what struck me as I was watching that trailer. I was like, it looked like more bad career advice for her.
Well, she's got to stop listening to Jeff, right?
Right.
He's no good. He is no good.
You can't sleep with your manager.
No.
Right?
No.
Kevin, you know.
Absolutely. You can't sleep with your manager.
Because what did Jeff do, first of all?
Jeff was a plumber.
No, he wasn't a plumber.
Good guess, though. A lot of country music managers started out as plumbers.
You don't know, man. You weren't there.
He used to be the head of Edge Hill Records.
Right.
But then they closed that shop down.
And that's when he became a plumber because
he was never out of work, Ralph. He was out of work.
So he had
after
to find
Edge Hill,
something to
but
do.
But then he became a manager and manages Layla.
Right.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
Mm-mm. And he slept with Juliet Barnes, first of all. Was the baby hers or was it Avery's? We didn't know, but now we do. Now she's abandoned it. What's up with her?
What is up with her?
Right? Managers.
Right.
Don't just ask me, by the way. Ask Ariana Grande. Managers, right? She has fired her manager.
Oh, what
according
happened?
To New York Daily News. She thought she was getting a bad reputation for being difficult, for being demanding. But she realized it was her manager that was the one that was the problem. And so her manager has been fired. Oh, by the way, maybe I buried the lead. Her manager, also her mother.
Oh.
Isn't she the one that
forced
like a security guard to carry her around and stuff?
Yes. She wanted to be carried from the stage to her dressing room because her feet got tired during a concert.
And that was her momager's fault?
Yes. And I think her mom also pushed her face into those donuts and made her lick them. If I remember the video correctly, you see that older woman grabbing the back of her head and just pushing her face down the donut. Eat it! Eat that donut! Eat it! Lick it! Lick the donut!
Her mom is bad news.
She is.
Ariana Grande?
That's right. Ariana Grande? Joan apparently still has a job. She's still on the payroll, but she'll be more in the background now. Ariana says she would like to make her own decisions about her career. Well, I think that'll work out well.
Sure.
I think we have an answer to my trivia question. I think Joe from Van Nuys.
This is true.
Hey, Joe, what Ian Fleming James Bond novel did Spectre first appear?
In about chapter 3 of Thunderball.
Boom!
Chapter.
Joe just dropped some Bond knowledge on
you. Seriously. Your wow.
Congratulations, Joe. You're going to go see a very special K-Rock Advance screening of Spectre at the Sony Pictures backlot. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, okay?
All righty.
Also, congratulations to August and Ken and Christian and Ilea. They're all going to go. It's not Ilea. It can't be Ilea, Beer Mug.
Apparently it is.
It's Ilea. Ilea, right? Like Ilea
Mug
Kuryakin,
says it's pronounced
spy,
Ilea. I've got my money on Mugs. You want to go to her and source it?
Well, it's a dude. That's why even more so I would say it's Ilea. Let's go to let's go to line number seven.
Can we put a dollar on it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm saying it's Ilya. What do you say?
You're betting on Mug?
I'm betting on Mug.
I'm saying it's Ilya, like Ilya Kuryakin from The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
All right. Caller, you're on the air. How do you pronounce your first name, please?
It's totally Ilya, like Ilya Kuryakin.
Thank you!
Thank
you, Ilya. Nice to meet you.
Why do I trust Beer Mug ever?
Because you're an idiot. I'm glad you won the tickets. And I look forward to seeing you at the screening, and I will show you Bean's dollar bill when we run into each other.
Dude, this is a new level for the Mugs. This is a mess.
Certainly is.
I trust Beer Mug.
Well, he went to all the trouble to put on the screen it's pronounced Ilya, so I thought, well, he sourced this.
How
he can't be wrong.
How often does Beer Mug go out of his way to make bad decisions?
Do you know Beer Mug?
Have you met the man?
I have, and I will reconsider the faith I have put in him from this point forward.
Oh, I'm betting on Beer Mug. That's the smart money. How can you go wrong believing something Beer Mug says or does?
Well, I'm an idiot.
Yes. Today's celebrity birthdays. Emilia Clarke is 29 years old today. John Heder, you know, is Napoleon Dynamite. Tina, come get some ham. 38 years old today. The legendary Seth MacFarlane celebrates his 42nd birthday today. Keith Urban's 48. Tom Cavanaugh, so good on The Flash, 52. Carrie Elwes, 53 years old today. Ian McDermott is 54. Rita Wilson, 59. Hillary Clinton, 68 years old today. And game show host Pat Sajak is 69 years old today. I did a little research. Pat Sajak has been hosting Wheel of Fortune for 30 years now.
Really?
What do you think he makes a year hosting Wheel of Fortune?
I know that those shows are really cheap to produce, so they can pay him a lot.
Keep in mind, he works probably a couple months out of the year. They shoot five a days of those things, and he knocks out a season in a couple months.
Yeah. $15 million.
Close. $12 million.
$12 million.
Wow.
Yep. For 2 months.
That's clean living, son. Right there. Clean living. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10.
It is Monday morning. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show with our friend Ralph Garman. What's going on?
It is Monday, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Martian, still number one, $15.9 million, kept at the top of the list. Goosebumps came in at number two, then Bridge of Spies. Last Witch Hunter debuted to $10.8 million. That made it number four. Hotel Transylvania 2 came in at number five. Then Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension, $8.2 million, made it the weakest performer in the Paranormal Activity franchise to date. Steve Jobs, Crimson Peak, The Intern, and Sicario were your top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. The celebrities are pulling out their Halloween costumes.
Okay.
Pictures of celebrities dressed up all over the internet. None more impressive, in my opinion, then Beyonce as Storm from the X-Men. Crazy outfit. She looked amazing. I want to go back and recast all the X-Men movies and put Beyonce in it. It was at Ciara's birthday party where they had a big costume party. She herself, Ciara, dressed as Batwoman. So a lot of superheroes getting a nod for costumes for celebrities. Kourtney Kardashian and her kids were dressing as Wonder Woman and company. I remember Wonder Woman. Remember Wonder Woman was dating that drunk, and then the drunk left Wonder Woman with all those kids? Oh, no, that was Kourtney Kardashian. That wasn't Wonder Woman at all.
Kardashians.
Speaking of costumes, Friday night down in Orange County, if you're near Irvine, California, we're doing Hollywood Babylon on Friday night down there at the Improv. Kevin Smith and I are bringing Hollywood Babylon down to the Orange County area, and of course it is Halloween. It's going to be Hollywood Boobalon.
No!
I'll be in costume. Come down in costume. We're giving away prizes for all the best costumes. You can go to improv.com and click on Irvine for more information and for tickets. Dave Grohl is just the best.
Yes.
Remember that video where 1,000 Foo Fighters fans in Italy all started playing Learn to Fly together?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. In a way to convince the band to do a concert in their city? Mm-hmm. Well, you remember Dave was floored by the video, and he released his own video in his best Italian, promising them that would it happen? Well, it is going to happen. He's made good on that promise. The Foos have booked a show on November the 3rd in Cesena. Anyway, it's in Italy. At Carasport there is the name of the venue. And so they're going to be doing a show for that city as a thank you for the video.
That's right near Sicario, isn't it, if
that's
I recall
cool.
correctly?
I believe it is, yeah.
Hey, Cisney, how come you know I have a David Grohl coming to your party no more?
They all asked.
What college did that guy go to, that guy who organized that?
Hey, what's the matter you? I graduated from there, a degree in shut up and mind your own business.
Disney is putting together a movie based on one of their amusement park rides. There's an idea. Not really. They've done that a bunch.
Yeah.
This one could be cool, though. Tower of Terror.
Mm. Mm.
Just like the ride, the film would have five people getting in an elevator, a big hotel, on their way up when it's hit by lightning, causing them to disappear. Ah! All right, I'm doing this. I'm just on my own. That's fine. There was already a movie of this ride done back in 1997, a TV movie called Tower of Terror, starring Kirsten Dunst, a young Kirsten Dunst, and the Goot. Steve Guttenberg.
Well, how can you remake a movie once Gutenberg's already made it?
You can't. There's no way to
What's
get any
the
better.
Point?
You can't get any better than the Goot. So this will be the big screen adaptation of that ride. I'm sure it'll be quite entertaining. All right, Ralph, what else do you think? Well, today's celebrity birthdays. Pat Sajak, 69 years old today. Hillary Clinton is 68. Rita Wilson turns 59. Dylan McDermott's 54 years old today. Carrie Elwes is 53. Tom Cavanaugh, 52 years old today. Keith Urban turns 48. John Heder, Napoleon Dynamite himself, 38 years old. Amelia Clark from Game of Thrones is 29. And Seth MacFarlane, the genius behind Family Guy and American Dad and Ted and Ted 2 and Moe Ways to Die in the West. And he sings. He's got a new album out.
No.
And that guy right there.
Guy.
Seth MacFarlane celebrates his 42nd birthday today.
He's an empire, isn't he, Ralph?
He's not an empire. I've seen that.
No, no, no. I'm saying what? A guy like that mm-hmm. who's got so
shut
many...
Shut up, Seth MacFarlane.
He's got so many things going
on.
Cookie. That's the crossover that should
Cookie
be happening.
Cookie would not put up with him. I'll tell you that right
Cookie
now.
Cookie on would. Family Guy. Fox should make that happen.
That'd be great.
I think Cookie's really upset. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning at All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Jason Blum on the program, who is the executive producer of Hellevator.
I've been told it's Blum, by the way.
It Jason is. Blum.
Blumhouse.
Hellevator. Hellevator.
No. It's a great name.
Hellevator. Also, DeAndre Jordan from the Clippers on
wow.
the tomorrow morning show. And we've got your tickets for the home opener for the Clippers as well tomorrow morning on an All New Kevin and Bean Show.